Buffalo News Ice Time podcast is brought to you by Express Windows. Windows starting at $389 installed. Visit expresswindowsinc.com.
Welcome to the latest shift of the Ice Time podcast here at buffalonews.com. I'm Mike Herring, the new sports columnist, joined as always by Sabres beat reporter Rachel Lindsay. And Rachel, you've made it through 80 games of your first season. The Sabres are going to the playoffs. I'm getting a little self-conscious here after living through 14 years of the drought. Before we get into our topics today, just what is your quick impression on the fact that you have walked into a playoff team in year one, giving you a leg up on the Calder Trophy of reporters?
I never thought of it that way. It's funny. I've been going around the NHL and, you know, a lot of people coming up to me, wow, you're covering a playoff team in your first year. They broke the streak. You know, Elliot Friedman from Sportsnet said to me, you know, you must be the good luck charm, Rachel. And I said, oh, I don't know. You know, I just showed up and covered the team. And he's like, no, you have to own it. Molly Walker from the New York Post said the same thing as well. I said, you're turning the tides here in Buffalo. So, and Susan Kelly, the wife of the late Jim Kelly, a great, you know, Hall of Fame reporter, you know, who from the Buffalo News, Susan said to me, you're the good luck charm. You need to own this as well. So maybe I had a hand in this. So it's been a ride. At times it's been a fever dream. It's been really exciting to be a part of this as well. But I looked at the calendar yesterday and I said, oh my gosh, we're game 81 and game 82. And we're getting together our playoff preview section. We're doing all the math as to what's going to happen with the playoffs. One of the things I learned was take it day by day. It sounds so cliche, but don't look a week ahead. Don't look a month ahead. You know, you may wake up and find out your flight out of Vancouver is canceled and you have to pivot. So it's definitely been a ride so far.
Lindy Ruff likes talking about one day at a time, and it's an utter cliche, but it's true. So let's go for some single days here. Let's start with Thursday night in KeyBank Center. The Sabres beat Columbus 5-0. They have a bit of a dilemma and a pickle going on in goal. Alex Lyon suddenly banged up, and what happens? They run Colton Ellis out there. You know, average night, first NHL shutout. What was your reaction to the Colton Ellis game?
You know, as soon as Alex Lyon went off the ice the other day at Madison Square Garden, he left during the morning skate Wednesday. The first thought is, uh-oh, because Alex Lyon has proven himself, I mean, not just a serviceable number two goalie, but a guy who can step in a pinch and play in any situation. Colton Ellis hadn't started since, what, February 3rd in a 4-3 overtime loss at Tampa Bay. And I look back to October when Colton Ellis came in as a stopgap because Ukko Pakalukkonen was going to miss the start of the season with a lower body injury he sustained in the exhibition season. Colton Ellis continues to maximize his moment in the NHL, and moments, especially in Columbus on Thursday. And Lindy Ruff's kind of looking like a genius here with his three-goalie problem, which has paid off again, because rather than scrambling, and I thought about this more, bringing Devon Levi up from Rochester on a short-term basis and forcing Lukanen into back-to-back games when at a time when you've got to conserve his energy and workload for the playoffs, the Sabres turned to Colton Ellis, who hadn't played in almost 9 weeks, if you count the Olympic break as well. He had gotten some action Saturday when he came off the bench in relief of Alex Lyon at Washington, who had already given up three goals at that point. But one of the things that Colton Ellis has done and proven, you know, that being an NHL backup goalie isn't just about coming off the bench and going, hey, I'm here, let's do this. You know, one of the things Ellis said last night in the scrum, he treated each practice with the utmost seriousness. He knows he has to work every day to be ready for that moment when it's, oh, you're in. You know, I talked about pivoting. You got to know how to pivot, especially if you're a goalie in that situation, when you got to go from being on the bench and watching the game to stepping onto the ice and being laser focused as well. And your teammates have to help you as well. And the Sabres did that for the most part. And that's one of the things Colton Ellis brought up last night. He says, guys were really helping me from the defensive angle as well. You know, they were doing against Columbus, which isn't a great team on the forecheck, but all of that came together, helped the Sabres strengthen their grip on the Atlantic Division lead. Probably put a dagger into Columbus's very fading playoff hopes.
I look at Colton Ellis, Rachel, and the thing that struck me was every person in that locker room trusted him. They knew what they were going to get from him because they had seen it every day in practice. That guy stays on the ice. He takes extra shots. He takes extra breakaways. They fully trusted him. And then when you saw that game end, what did you see at the end of the game? You saw guys selling out, blocking shots. The buzzer goes. He's got his first NHL shutout. And those hugs in that receiving line on the ice at the end of that game were as sincere as could be from every player on that team all the way through to Lucan and an Alex Tuck at the end. This guy has not played much hockey at all on the ice in games, certainly the last 2 months. They believe in him if they need him. He's got 8 wins on the season, which people might forget. And this team is now the first Sabres team since 1993 to have 3 goalies with 8 or more wins in a season. You want Alex Lyon back if something happens to Lucan, and whether injury or ineffectiveness, you want to be able to go to Alex Lyon in the playoffs. But let's not get confused here and think it's any sort of disaster if you have to go to Colton Ellis either. The guy does have 8 wins in the NHL this year. And we saw Thursday night against a team desperate to make the playoffs, he shut him out.
Yeah. And again, you know, I always talk about how a number 2 goalie has a lot of value in the team. You know, if anything, Colton Ellis is probably helping his stock as a potential number 2 goalie right now, whether he, you know, sticks with the Sabres, he goes somewhere else, or putting the cart before the horse here and overthinking it. But he's only, he's only improving his stock for down the line as well. And the other thing I really like was they're going off the ice after the game. All the players made Colton Ellis go out for his mini victory lap in front of the bench afterwards. I thought that was that was really cool. That spoke a lot to what they think of him as well, too.
Now, so, as we go on our next topic, you made reference to it already, how desperate Columbus was. The funny part is the Blue Jackets are probably out in the wild card race right now. They're 4 points back. They have a better chance to make the playoffs finishing 3rd in the Metro. They're still only 2 points back of Philadelphia, but I really think Philadelphia's got something going here, and I think Columbus is really going to be up against it in terms of catching them and making the playoffs.
Upgrade your home with Express Windows, your local source for windows, doors, and siding. Window installation started just $389 with a lifetime warranty on parts and labor. Our streamlined process delivers the fastest installation in just 5 to 7 weeks. From consultation to cleanup, our pros make it easy, affordable, and built to last. Visit ExpressWindowsInc.com to get started today. Express Windows, value, speed, and craftsmanship for every home.
So let's look at the Sabres situation here. All of a sudden, you throw a couple wins into the mix here. They've gone 3-0 this week, and they are right where they want to be. They're in first place in the Atlantic Division. They have a 2-point lead over Montreal. They have a 4-point lead over Tampa Bay. And everyone in the NHL was off Friday. The schedule resumes on Saturday. Your reaction now to me, we're sitting there outside the locker room trying to find out what's going on with Tampa and Montreal, and chaos ensued at the end of that game. And
yeah.
I don't know, it seems to me that was a pretty good end result for the Sabres.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, as of Friday morning, the magic number to clinch home ice for the Sabres is 3. But it seems easier said than done right now. The Sabres have 2 games left in the regular season, Monday at Chicago, Wednesday at home against Dallas. The Montreal Canadiens and Lightning, and the Tampa Bay Lightning each have 3 games left, including what I consider, you know, a pivotal game. The Lightning play the Bruins on Saturday as well, too. Another pivotal game that could have playoff implications more for the Eastern Conference and the Atlantic Division. Senators play the Islanders on Saturday. Those are the first 2 games of the day. So we should have some more clarity on the playoff picture as it pertains to the Sabres. As of Saturday should. And of course, you know, best laid plans are going to go awry as well, too. But this is the time, I mean, I keep laughing to people, and I said, do we ever think we'd be scoreboard watching as far as a potential number 1 seed for the playoffs, you know, what, April 10th, April 11th? Did we think that way back when we started the season? No. I mean, it's again, another cliche coaches always say, we have to control our own destiny. We can only worry about what's in our hands. But it's going to take a lot of work and a lot of help from other teams for this to shake out. I did not think that we were going to get to a point where everybody's in it, where the Eastern Conference playoff positioning comes down to a horse race at the end.
And let's eliminate some confusion here. When we talk about the magic number is 3 to have home ice advantage, the Sabres would have home ice advantage, folks, if they finished 2nd in the Atlantic Division. Okay, not the magic number to win the division. Home ice advantage.
Clinch home ice, yep.
Finish 2nd in the division, you get home ice advantage. A lot of readers are confused on that point. The division championship obviously is significant, you know, from an emotional standpoint. There hasn't been one here since 2010, and it's significant from the matchup standpoint. If you finish first, you play a wild card, meaning your first round opponent is probably Boston or Ottawa. If you finish in the 2-3 game, even if you finish second and you have home ice advantage, your first round opponent is Montreal or Tampa. I think it's safe to say any Sabres fan out there would rather take their first round chance with Boston or Ottawa than with Montreal or Tampa.
Right. Boston and Ottawa being two teams in that lower part of the top eight of the Eastern Conference that have had to slug it out and fight and claw just to get into the playoffs. And you wonder, is a team like that going to be exhausted by the time they get to the playoffs? Or are they going to be extremely motivated and think, we have nothing to lose at this point at the time in the playoffs?
And let's not...
when either of those teams do make it.
Right, and let's not give any impression we think Boston or Ottawa would be an easy series by any stretch.
No, no.
They'd be easier. They'd not be easy. The Sabres are going to have a heck of a time if they have to play the Bruins going into TD Garden, where the Bruins are just dynamite at home and the atmosphere is crazy. And Ottawa's not going to be easy. And the thing about Ottawa, you worry the Sabres are really going to deal with some physicality and some extracurriculars. Brady Tkachuk and Ridly Gregg are going to cause a lot of problems, as we know. So that would be an ugly kind of series. Mm-hmm. The Sabres would be favored against both teams, but let's just not let anyone think that's going to be easy. None of these are going to be easy. You know, people have to realize the Florida Panthers have won the last two Stanley Cups. How many playoff games did they lose in those two runs? I think it was 8 or 9 in each year. You lose games in the playoffs. Nothing is a sweep. Nothing is easy. And it's not going to be the case for the Sabres here.
Yeah, playing the Ottawa Senators, it's the sandpaper series. They're just gritty. They make you uncomfortable. They get under your skin. That's kind of Ottawa's brand of hockey at this point. So
the Sabres have a lot of team goals at hand. And there are still some individual things going on. And it's very interesting. Our email box was filled up on Thursday with the official ballot for the NHL Awards. The writers, the Professional Hockey Writers Association members vote on several awards. The first caveat I can give you folks is that we are not allowed to reveal our votes when we make them. They have to be turned in by next week before the start of the playoffs. They're not announced winners until June. When the winners are announced, our votes are revealed. So there is full transparency here, but they don't want the votes out to essentially scoop the NHL awards show. So we're going to briefly go over here, Rachel, some of our thoughts on where the Sabres and other people might stand on awards, but we are not going to reveal our votes. And frankly, I haven't even filled out my ballot yet.
I haven't either. We can just discuss possible candidates in general terms and give our readership and our audience food for thought on what the NHL could be thinking as far as easy. Rasmus Dahlin's already been revealed as a Master Ton Trophy nominee.
Right.
That the PHWA, which we are members of, they vote on that award for the nominees as well.
And that, let's bring up this point. The Professional Hockey Writers Association members vote for the Masterton for perseverance, dedication to hockey, and sportsmanship. We also vote for the Hart Trophy, for MVP, for the Calder, for Rookie of the Year, for the Norris, top defenseman, for the Lady Bing, gentlemanly play. We do not, and I will say this from the mountaintop probably several more times, we do not vote for Coach of the Year. The Coach of the Year, who should be Lindy Ruff,
should be, yes,
is going to be selected by the NHL Broadcasters Association. So if you don't like the way the Jack Adams Award balloting goes, please save your cards and letters for us and direct them to the NHL Broadcasters Association.
The Vezina for Lindy.
Yeah. The Vezina for top goalie also is another one we do not vote on. That is voted on by the NHL general managers.
Yeah.
Now, I do think one way to approach this topic is what you just mentioned earlier. Rasmus Dahlin is going to come up in the Masterton, a tremendous season, tremendous perseverance, what he was dealing with his fiancée and her heart transplant. Really felt rejuvenated when he went to Sweden in November to attend her medical appointments. That's the kind of thing that often wins this award, perseverance, dedication to hockey. Also, Rasmus Dahlin, clearly a candidate for the Norris.
Mm-hmm.
There are tremendous Norris candidates this year.
Oh, yeah.
In your mind, when you look at the Norris voting this year, Who stands out in that group that Rasmus Dahlin is likely going to crack?
Colorado's Cale Makar. He's part of the Avalanche's depth on offense, but he is an excellent two-way offensive defenseman. You and I have had this discussion before about Evan Bouchard from Edmonton. He's the leading scorer among defensemen, but the thing that holds him back is
he's
a defensive liability. That's the problem. Minnesota's Quinn Hughes, I see up there. Colorado's Zach Werenski is also someone who's mentioned a lot. I mean, did I say Colorado? I meant Columbus.
Yeah,
sorry, we're 80 games in the season. I'm running on Hughes.
And your abbreviations always, our abbreviations
COL,
always get through the league.
There's CBJ. And yeah. Say, all right, we're going to rewind this. Columbus's Zach Werenski is always mentioned as a candidate. But he made a play or didn't make a play that I didn't like last night. He got totally burned on Jack Quinn's goal that made it 3-0 last night at KeyBank Center. I know one game doesn't make an award, but when you're trying to help your team keep its playoff hopes alive, do your job. So I said, Zach Werenski, you may have lost a vote from me there as well, too. So, and yes, definitely, Dolly needs to be in that conversation. He was, what, sixth last year in the voting as well, too. And again, like you said, everything he has gone through this season, he has been steady the whole time. I've only seen blips of inconsistency, tiny blips of inconsistency. But people have bad days as well. And I also want to say on Dahlin with the Masterton Trophy, which I've been pronouncing wrong all these years. I was really impressed by some of the candidates that other PHWA chapters had nominated. We saw, Linus Allmark was Ottawa's nominee with, all the mental health issues that he has dealt with and revealed this season. Jonathan Toews coming back from long COVID. That's another big thing. Another guy who jumped out to me was Jordan Eberle from Seattle. He hurt himself, had a medical condition that nobody knew how to treat. He was in a wheelchair. His wife gave birth. He had to relearn how to walk as well. He was just no small feat for something we take for granted every day. I looked at that list and said, wow, these are the stories that need to be told in the NHL. These guys aren't just hockey players. They're humans going through everyday things that people, us mere mortals go through. I really think it puts a face on and emotions on what these guys are going through. And I really hope to see more stories of the Masterton candidates.
And you're right. A bunch of those jumped out at me. The ones you mentioned, another one that jumps out is Gabriel Landeskog in Colorado, mm-hmm. battling, knee injuries since the Stanley Cup final in 2022 to actually make a real return and become a factor again in the Avalanche and what's potentially another Stanley Cup run.
Yeah.
So we're going to see where Dahlin lands in the Norris voting. I think certainly that's the top Sabre candidate. Mm-hmm. Just one more on awards before we move on here. What in the world do we do with our Hart Trophy ballots this year?
I'm looking at this. These are my four candidates. Connor McDavid from Edmonton, Nathan MacKinnon from Colorado, Nikita Kucherov from Tampa Bay, Macklin Celebrini from San Jose. Someone said, he's a dark horse. I said, please, the kid's got, 100 points? Is he really a dark horse? No. That's another one. It feels like this one's a toss-up as well.
Would've helped.
I don't know who I'm going to vote for.
No, it would have helped if Celebrini had made the playoffs.
Made the playoffs,
doesn't
true,
look like
true.
Going to do it. And left out of the Norris voting, and he's going to creep, I think, into the Hart voting. But again, the playoffs would help. Wow. What is Matthew Schaefer going to land in all this? Obviously, he's going to win the Calder. Let's be honest.
Oh, yeah.
If anybody doesn't
yeah.
vote for him for the Calder, what are you doing voting? But this guy has turned around a franchise. And unfortunately, right at the end here, they kind of slumped. They fired Patrick Waugh. They hired Peter DeBoer. They might not make the playoffs, which could impact his candidacy. But there's no question Matthew Schaefer's getting Norris votes. And I think, like Celebrini, he's going to get a few Hart votes, too. And he's not going to win the thing, but he is going to be a top 10 guy in both of those trophies as an 18-year-old, which to me is remarkable in the NHL.
Right, right. The Vezina, top goalie. There's another one. Who do we vote for? Scott Wedgwood, Andrei Vasilevsky, Brandon Bussey from Carolina. Another thing, I'm going to make a minor stump for the Sabres. We talk about dark horses. UPL is 9th in goals against average in the NHL with a 2.56 GAA. So there's another possibility. The other one I love, you brought up Lady Bing, the He's a Gentleman trophy. Some of the candidates that jumped out to me as I was kind of stat crunching this morning, Cole Caulfield from Montreal, obviously, 87
yeah.
points. He's a plus 14. Excuse me, not plus 14. Again, the fumes are catching up to me. So, 14 penalty minutes. The other guys that jumped out were from New Jersey, Jack Hughes, 73 points, 8 penalty minutes. Jesper Bratt, 68 points, 12 penalty minutes. Mika Zibanejad from the Rangers, 78 points, 15 penalty minutes. But those last three guys I named, what's the common thread? They're all on teams that aren't going to the playoffs. They were too much of a gentleman. So there's your food for thought on that. You know, you weren't mean enough to get your team to the playoffs.
Yeah, the Lady Bing is one that, you know, players are always happy to win an award, but sometimes they're not as thrilled about winning the Lady Bing as other ones they could be.
You're too much of a gentleman award. Yeah. That's what it is.
All right. So what the Sabres have left here? The Sabres have two games left. Like we've mentioned earlier, teams around them in the Atlantic Division have three left. Monday night, you'll be in the United Center in Chicago, one of my favorite places in the league. Not going to be rocking like it has in the past. You're not
the old madhouse on Madison like it has been before.
Yeah, you're not
I've
see
never been.
Vintage.
I'm excited to go.
Yeah, you're not going to see vintage 2015. Jim Corneliusen's still going to sing the anthem. The crowd's still going to yell.
It's and he not sings
gonna...
it in Northwestern football games,
right.
too.
Yeah. It's not going to be like it was in the playoff days. And the Sabres actually, you know, battered the Blackhawks 9-3 in their meeting in Buffalo earlier this season. So it's Chicago at home. Chicago's home, I should say, mm-hmm. United Center on Monday night for the Sabres. Fan Appreciation Night in KeyBank Center against the Dallas Stars on Wednesday. Two games left. First priority, stay healthy.
And
forget
win.
About the score, the result. The Sabres need to stay healthy through these two games. Mm-hmm. Second thing, Lindy Ruff has already said, unless there are injuries, guys are not sitting out. They're going for first place in the division. They're going for their home ice advantage. So if anybody wants NBA-style load management, it ain't happening here, folks.
But they're not the Carolina Hurricanes who sat half their roster last night with undisclosed or unclear injuries.
Before the game, that tweet goes out.
Yeah, take a look at Carolina PR's tweet. You see how many guys didn't play last night.
You know, Sebastian Aho and Andrei Svechnikov and Jacob Slavin. Oh, by the way, they won the game against Chicago 7-2, playing a lot of their minor league guys. So when you look at these two games, other than staying healthy, what stands out, what you want to see out of the Sabres in these two games?
I want to see them get points. I want to see them win to secure their spot. Again, this goes down to the quote-unquote controlling their own destiny. Got to win those games. I definitely think Chicago is winnable. Dallas is going to be a little more of a fight because Dallas is one of the top teams in the Western Conference. And
Will Dallas play their guys?
That's true. We could see the Texas Stars on Wednesday. So.
Right. We could see their
affiliate in Austin coming up to Buffalo as well, too. So it is. It's manage the game well. It's don't do anything dumb either. So, and while you need to be mindful of what's happening around the NHL, don't make that your focus. But they're professionals. They know what to do.
Here's something that I need to see in these two games. I need to see the Sabres start to show more renewed focus on the power play. They were in an 0-for-15 slump going into the Columbus game. What were they last night? 0-for-2, 0-for-3.
0-for-2. So they're 0-for-17 in five games.
So, you know, the one thing about it, I know fans are freaking out about the power play, as they should at times. The Sabres are 29th in the NHL on the road in the power play. They went into last night's game 7th at home, which is kind of bizarre. And the other thing people should realize, yes, you need to have good special teams to make it through the playoffs. I get that. Power play opportunities go down in the playoffs. We all know it. We all see it. Referees eat their whistles, especially later in games. You're not getting 4, 5, 6 power play opportunities in a game in the playoffs. You're getting 2, maybe 3. So it is paramount if you can convert one of those and get a goal, it's really important. But let's not overemphasize the power play from the standpoint of most of the time in the playoffs, it's going to be 5-on-5. They eat the whistles. But having said that, there are enough guys in this team who are talented where they should be converting on this power play more. But we've seen it over the years. The Pittsburgh Penguins have Hall of Fame players. They've struggled on the power play for years and years. Colorado's power play is nothing to write home about at times. Top teams often struggle on the power play for whatever reason. But even last night, what did you see? I mean, they've moved Tage Thompson around a little, got him to different spots on the ice. He's not just hanging in the circle. But entries were bad, retrievals were bad. It just, there wasn't a whole lot going on, it seemed, when they had the man advantage.
They weren't driving the net. I think back to that 5-on-3 against the New York Rangers the other night as well. The 5-on-3 is supposed to be money in the bank. Now, granted, the Rangers did a very good job of clogging the middle in front of Igor Shesterkin, but guys weren't driving the net. They weren't doing it last night. They were staying on the perimeter. They weren't opening lanes. They were allowing Columbus to close lanes as well, too. So it's one of, they have to be more assertive. You know, the difference between assertive and aggressive. If you're aggressive, you run the risk of doing chances. They gotta stand their ground on the power play as well.
The Sabres do not have a 5-on-3 goal this year. They've had about 9 minutes of 5-on-3 time. And strangely enough, the opponents don't have a 5-on-3 goal against Buffalo this year either.
They have a very good penalty killing unit.
Right. We have
penalty
not seen
operation,
a five on,
I should say.
We have not seen a 5-on-3 goal either way all season, which is really kind of bizarre.
It's wild.
I do think that injuries, power play are two big things to watch. Mm-hmm. I assume Lukanen's going to play both games, you know, unless everything's decided by Wednesday night. And you could see Colton Ellison Wednesday night against Dallas. But I'm not thinking everything's going to be decided. I think we're going to Wednesday night before we know who's winning the Atlantic Division, who's going to have home ice advantage, and probably who the Sabres' first-round opponent is going to be. This could go right to the end on Wednesday night. All the games Thursday, people should note, are Western Conference teams. The East will be done Wednesday night, and by the end of time Wednesday after the Dallas game, we should learn the Sabres' fate. But definitely a lot going on here with two games left.
Right, right. And I took a look at the NHL standings this morning. Utah gets their first playoff berth as the Utah Mammoth. Pittsburgh gets home ice advantage as well. They've missed the playoffs the last couple of years again with that loaded lineup, the Sidney Crosbys and McGinnis Malkins of the world. Columbus again. Buffalo probably put a dagger in their playoffs.
Struggle.
Washington could be out as well. We could see the end of Alex Ovechkin's career. You know, if he decides this is going to be it as well. I mean, what's the saying in Washington we used to say? And I grew up in Washington. Charblossoms are going to be gone this spring, and so will Caps.
Well, and the other thing is, it's a good final point. Tickets are spiking for the Capitals-Penguins game Sunday in Washington. It's the last home game of the season. And the speculation on Ovechkin is real. He gave an interview this week, said he's going to decide this summer. But a lot of people wonder if Ovechkin's going to play in that game against the Penguins and skip the season finale Tuesday night in Columbus, so that if he steps out, his last game will be at home against Crosby and the Penguins on Sunday. That'd be a heck of a finale for
a throwback matchup. And the other thing, you know, reading the tea leaves about the immediate future, Alex Ovechkin. So a report out of Toronto said he was picking up pucks to take out of the arena after the Toronto game earlier this week. I mean, you just don't do that. You just don't pick up pucks because you want to pick up pucks out of Scotiabank Arena. You're taking all these mementos for a reason. And wasn't there an email that went out last summer saying this could be Alex Ovechkin's last season? Get ready for it. The Washington Capitals accidentally sent it out to season ticket holders,
right,
and reporters obtain it. So just read the tea leaves, people. That's all on Alex Ovechkin.
Two games left. Games 81 and 82, the Sabres at Chicago Monday night, the Sabres home against the Dallas Stars Wednesday night. And don't think that's the end of the coverage here at the Buffalo News. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the playoffs will start at some point next weekend, 18th, 19th. We'll have to wait for the schedule. Be sure to check out all the coverage. A playoff preview section is coming in Buffalo News print editions. Plenty of stories online at BuffaloNews.com. Rachel Lindsay will be in Chicago. She'll be there through the playoffs. I'll be there as well. I'm Mike Harrington. Thanks for watching.
Express Windows is a best of 716 favorite for window and door installation. They also offer discounts for military personnel and seniors. Learn more at ExpressWindowsInc.com. Express Windows. Fast, easy, affordable.